excited to bring back this episode with our first guest, Eric Ryan Olson. He is the head of JMTD Biz, which is a Christian theoretical company. And he'll be having a show in Norfolk on December 9th through 11th at the Collector Norfolk. And this is the premiere of a full-length one-man Jesus show that encapsulates the life of Christ from the gospel. It is an interactive show incorporating original music, scripture projections, and video transitions that you don't want to miss. It's free, and you can register at jmtd.biz. Now we have Eric on the line. Eric, please tell us about the show.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much, Santiago. The show has been a long time in coming. It's a 90-minute, full-length, one-man Jesus show. It incorporates original music, a video transition, voice narration, and obviously the dramatization of myself portraying Jesus chronologically from highlights in the Gospels. And there will be a video climax of the crucifixion, and it will end with a resurrection speech. And there will be scripture projections. So that's what's going to be really unique about this show, is as I am dramatizing, as I am speaking the words of Christ from the Sermon on the Mount, for example, as simultaneously the scripture, the words I'm speaking from the gospel, will be projected on a wall or on a projector system at some churches, if they have that, or if not, just on a wall. So there'll be this synchronization and synergy of the written word and the spoken word. In the Greek, you know, it's the logos and the rhema. So I expect it's going to be very powerful. I trust that, in fact, that God is going to exceed my expectations, because it's for his glory. It's exalting the name of Jesus. It's exalting the word of God. I believe he's going to anoint it and touch people powerfully through this show, portraying Jesus live at JMTD. And he's really fashioned me and equipped me for a long time to launch this show. And I'm so thankful for you, Santiago. You've been an encouragement way back towards the very beginning, 2007, when I was just doing the Sermon on the Mount, and now it's 2016. 9 years have went by, and wow, it's been a journey. And I'm just,
how much does it involve your physical, with your mind and your spirit and your daily life?
Well, I mean, they're definitely interwoven. I think it all has to do with your confidence. If you're looking good, it's generally because you've put in the work to look good, and your body's showing that, not only physically, but it's, your mood's enhanced. You got energy. You have drive. You have desire. And also too, it's doing a lot for you as far as people go. It opens the doors to developing new relationships that otherwise weren't there, and allows you to be able to step outside of your comfort zone because you're confident in doing so. You don't feel like you should isolate yourself because you're overweight and you conceivably be unattractive. All that just goes out the window when you've made that change. And spiritually, definitely opened the door, because it allowed me to get my relationship with God back on track, because I was completely dependent upon him, day after day, those countless hours of training in the weight room, on the street running, at the dinner table, whatever phase I was in, I was constantly relying on God for that. And once I can completed all that, it gave me a purpose to do more with that and to serve God with that. It wasn't just about me winning a contest, it was about using the contest that God allowed to reach the others.
And, can you name one book that has inspired you to do this?
Well, there. I think there's the book by Larry Burkett. His basic book, Your Finances in Changing Times. It's a great primer on what God's Word has to say. And then I think Dave Ramsey's book, I can't even think of it. It's tied to his Financial Peace University. How about that? I can't even think of the book. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I'm looking on my bookshelf. Oh, here it is, Total Money Makeover. Sorry about that, Dave. So I think not, because Dave is a really, really, he's a real strong Christian, but he comes at finances from a very, very practical aspect. Larry Burkett was a fantastic Christian author. He dealt with the practical, but his strength was in the spiritual. Now, putting those both together, there's another book that I like, and I just happen to have it on my bookshelf. It is Thou Shalt Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Laper. So I think between those three books, anybody can be able to take, read, and with a little bit of prayer, be able to turn around and go from where the direction they're headed to the direction the Lord will have them. I particularly like the Thou Shalt Prosper. It's the 10 Commandments for Making Money. Now, that doesn't sound like a very biblical title, but I will tell you, from the best books I've ever read in my life. It's excellent. So you asked for one, I just gave you three. Maybe that'll help.
That will work. And can you tell us one role model that you really look up to and that you learned a lot from?
Oh, no doubt about it, John Maxwell. He's a Christian. He teaches from a biblical worldview. He teaches on leadership. He teaches on coaching, counseling, mentoring. I was so blessed by the fact that our ministry was able to partner with his ministry, so that he's providing his teaching resources to us at no cost to our people. I would say I greatly admired Dave Ramsey. I greatly admired Larry Burkett. But I think overall, as far as being able to teach and to present and to communicate and to connect, gotta be John Maxwell. You know, they say that John Maxwell has written more about leadership and coaching and counseling and all of that, more than any other leadership author, all of the other leadership authors in the world since the beginning of time combined. So he's a guru, man.
I mean, I always look back to Helen Keller. She invented stuff just to read for blind people. If she can do it, if Les Miles, of anyone, yeah, like Steve Jobs that never finished college, you can do it too. What does it take?
And that's the message that, you know, Les Brown talks about. You know, yeah, things he says is possible. You know, there. But if you go back to, if you talk about Les Brown and he talks about possible, and he grew up in Miami, you know,
in the rough area, Liberty City,
abandoned house in Liberty City.
No father.
No father. Never knew his father. You know, with adopted with his twin brother, and you know, held back in school, whatever, all those things. However, if you talk about, and when you listen, Les Brown is a master storyteller, and when you listen to his story, right? One of the things I say to people is this. Think about this. Where Les Brown grew up in a rough neighborhood in Liberty City, do you think that he had the worst story? Do you think Les Brown knew people that had a worse story than he did? Yeah, he was abandoned, you know, but I guarantee you there's people that he knew that didn't have a mother. He had a mother. He had a roof over his head. I guarantee you that he knew people. So what I'm saying to you is, it's not just about your story. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's got a story. You know, it's the difference between Les Brown and all those people, because I work for Les Brown, you know, even now at his institute, and I talk to people every day, and I hear stories, and they're like, oh man, if you think Les Brown's story is bad, let me tell you about mine, you know? And I'm like, no.
It's okay, man. Let's run.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So everybody want to get into this pity party and tell you how bad their story is, but it's, you know, and Les Brown's story wasn't the worst in Liberty City, I'm sure, but whatever.
Yeah.
He decided to do something about it and he took action. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, those people that keep his story inside of him, that's what happened. He decided it was going to make a difference in him to share his story. So that's the difference. He doesn't have the worst story.
Oprah also has a good story, too.
Exactly. You know?
I mean, an interesting story.
I mean, yeah. I mean, how she turned it around, you know?
Exactly.
There's so many women that's in that situation that won't talk about it. But, you know, that's That's what makes us different. We have a voice. And I believe if you have a voice, you know, when I speak, when I'm going back, you know, I go back to that night a lot, because I got to a point where I felt I wasn't just crying for me. I felt I was crying for all those people that couldn't speak for themselves, that didn't have a voice, and I wanted to be the voice. That's what we are. That's what Les Brown is. He's the voice for the voiceless. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's what we are. That's what we, there's a lot of people when I talk, when I speak, you know, when sometimes when I speak on stage and people like, I come off stage and people like, wow, Cliff, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you talked about that. But you know why? They're afraid of talking about that. But me, that's why I'm the one on stage, because I'm gonna shed myself. You know, so I'm talking for those people who don't, whatever, have the courage, whatever, right, but not talking for themselves.
You know, and like art doesn't have to go on painting. You know, it could be on clay. You know, it could be.
I have done that a little bit with that too. Yeah, because I do love to working with clay. It could be on, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a form of expression. I mean, like, would you think that you relax when you paint? Is that something that you feel like you kind of like calm down and just shut off like the world?
Yeah, kind of like get in my Jesus mode, and I just like get into who I was created to be and do it. And then, you know what I really love about art too is sometimes I love, like, I have a voice and my voice is important, so I love to do a lot of collage, and I really like to do a lot of collage with Daniel. I mean, I love to hear that he has a voice, and I like to hear his voice expressed. That's what my most favorite thing to do is listen to what his voice is and express it through paintings.
Wow. No, yeah, it's very true. I think, you know, people come, could become expressive. Like my brother Daniel, which is what she's referring to, has autism, but he likes art, you know, he expresses out. I mean, anyone can do art.
Anyone can do art.
You know?
Anyone.
And it might not be your style. You might like music or like another type of art, you know, photography, you know. And speaking about photography, part of your website is Heart Led Photography. We don't have Elisha here now, but we'll probably interview him later on. Can you tell us a little bit about his photography?
Oh, yeah. He is my son, and both him and my daughter do it. And I just think has such an amazing eye. His composition eye is just incredible. It's so, so incredible. And my daughter has a way of posing people and opposing different people that look really, really good. And she's a really good people person. So I think they're going to do really, really well in this Heart Led. And it used to be a different name. It used to be Terra Nova, but they wanted to change it to what they felt their hearts were. So now they named it Heart Led. And if you go on his website, my website, you'll see his pictures, and you will be as amazed as I am.
Yeah, most of his scenery, like around the world, he went to Thailand for a few months, was it?
He went to Thailand. He went to Honduras. He went to Australia. He went to California. He's been here in Florida. He's been in Ouray, Colorado, and Colorado Springs.
You know, it's funny because I see like very similar his photography to your art, like nature. You know, I mean, I love nature, but it's really, you know, it's just really like authentic, comes to the point. You know, and I kind of think about.
So tell us, you're now with Amazon. We're switching to tech now, and obviously Amazon is in the news in the past couple of months. You guys had just had Prime Day. Can you tell us your involvement with Amazon?
Yeah. So I'm I'm a software engineer. I work on the Echo Look team. Echo Look is a fashion device for sort of digitally cataloging your wardrobe and giving outfit recommendations. So I moved from ministry into fashion.
Amazing.
But I've had a great time. My team has a feature in the Amazon shopping app, like the iOS and Android app that is written in React Native, which is what I've kind of specialized in recently, at least. So it's that's what I've been working on. I'm on the Echo Look team, and Amazon's a great place to work. It's an amazing company.
Can you tell us any secrets that's going to happen in the future, in your future future projects or developments that could happen with the Echo and everything?
I could say that it's going to keep getting smarter. And, you know, one of the things I really love about Amazon is that they're really a mission driven kind of company. And they have, really great core values, and including like just being, you know, obviously I'm speaking for myself and in my experience here, but obviously, but they're very customer centric. And so they're always like everything comes back to like, how can we do the right thing for the customer? And I really love that. Like one of my big fears going from ministry back into just the secular working world was this possibility that I was going to, you know, fall in with a company that in the end was like not making ethical business decisions or was asking things that were of me as a developer that conflicted with my own, conscience. And I've never had that at all at Amazon. I think
prediction for the most rushing yards, Bell. What's yours?
If Zeke doesn't get suspended, rushing yards or overall yards?
Rushing yards.
I'll tell you flat out. I think Dalvin Cook is actually going to make a run for the rushing title this year. 123 yards, most yards ever by a rookie in his opening game, over Adrian Peterson's old record of 108 yards. He's just a monster. You know, I said it from the beginning, Fournette's a beast, but Dalvin Cook will evolve to be the best, you know, running back in that class that came out. Obviously, Hunt is, you know, being a freak of nature right now, but how long can you keep that up? Dalvin Cook is just solid. Every aspect of his game is solid.
You, I mean, like as a man of history of football, how often do you see a rookie running back do well in the first year?
One, there's three. You know, Hunt is a rookie too, remember?
No, like in history, how many have you seen that really exploded? Was Emmitt Smith amazing? Nope. Running back first year?
No.
Ricky Williams?
No, I mean, you couldn't even put Ricky Williams in those things. Maybe the only running backs, to tell you the truth, that I know that from day one came in, one of them is going to be before your time, Eric Dickerson, came in with the Rams 80s. and just tore it up. Again, even further back, we have the murderer O.J. Simpson, who did the same thing with
juice is loose.
Yeah, the juice is loose somewhere.
you agree with that?
Yeah, we're not going to get into that. I can't tell you Walter Payton, but I also believe Barry Sanders had a big year his first year rushing, and we can look him up. But you know, as far as that's concerned, to have a 1,000-yard rushing season in your rookie year is
that's a lot.
Is something that most so for Zeke to have 1,600 last year? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, if Zeke loses a game, he'll probably won't win.
No, if he is suspended for any game, even one, that's not necessarily true. If he has a couple of huge games, you can't say that by missing one game he will. But the odds are, obviously, you're going to need all 16 games in order to win a rushing title, a passing title, a receiving title, whatever the case may be. So, you know, less games, less touches, less yards. So,
speaking about rookies, who are your top three and who will be the rookie of the year?
Again, I'm going Dalvin Cook as my rookie of the year, although Hunt looks incredible. Who I really love is Curtis Kupp of the Rams. Okay, he's a small, he came out of, I believe, like Western Michigan, a small school. I'm incorrect on the school. It is a small school, though. Taken in, I believe, like the third or fourth round. Nothing but making plays from day one. And he seems to have a rapport with, obviously, Goff, who's going to be the quarterback of the future there. But if you've watched even one preseason game, one regular season game, the guy just makes plays. He had a touchdown in, you know, 70 or 80 yards, something in his first game.
Man, yeah, so you provide private coaching, private classes. Can you tell their audience how they can reach you and what do you provide?
Yeah, well, what I do is right now I have my youngest client is 14, and it's just general strength, general fitness for him. I actually train him and his mother. The mother is probably around early 40s, and it's more of a family thing. And again, for the mother, it's a little different than the boy. I get them different routines altogether. And I actually can go to their homes without my big truck. I have a bunch of bands and the stability balls and medicine balls and things like that, that I can give them a good workout inside the home. Or if they want more of a full, complete gym, I have a huge truck that I actually pulled up, and you'll never know you're in a truck. I've got the surround sound system, the ceiling fans, the air conditioning, the mirrors, and all the equipment that you want to have. Depends on what you want and if you like to do that. And then also, I have a nice gym in my garage. It's a 2.5 stall garage. Again, it's not a garage. It's air conditioned, ceiling fans, surround sound TV, the best equipment that you can have. I have heavy duty equipment. It's not the home gym type stuff. And you go in my gym, it looks like it's almost like a rehab center too, because I train a lot of older people. I have a lot of people that the older ones, I would say youngest older one is 64, and I go up to 83. I probably have 8 clients that are 64 to 83, which is, remember I told you about the MBA with the balance and proprioception and mobility? It's really funny because I train the older people kind of like an athlete when they had surgery and they're coming back to like that transitional phase. And I that's how I train them, but I have to have more flexibility to start with, because if they haven't been moving and active, they lose their flexibility. So, well, you need to get them stronger, you need this, but you can't really get them stronger if they can't increase their range of motion. So you work on your range of motion, you work on a little bit of balancing, then you get them stronger. The next thing they know, those silly exercises that they think they're doing, they realize the importance of them. And it's funny because I would say once or twice a month, one of my clients will say, "Hey, Mick, you'll never guess what I did yesterday." I go, "What's that?" The woman would say, I was tripping when I got out of my house. I tripped down the stairs, and guess what happened? I go, "What?" She goes, "I caught myself. I had the balance, and I didn't fall." I go, her name is Gay. I go, "Gay, that's exactly why we're doing this."
Instagram was the biggest acquisition, though.
Oh, that was huge.
Bigger than WhatsApp.
That was huge. If I'm not mistaken, they tried to buy Snapchat.
They did, and Snapchat turned it down.
Right.
They might be regretting that.
Snapchat might?
You think so?
That's an interesting question. I mean, that's where the war comes in, because it's here. At the time that they made the offer, Snapchat didn't have much competition, if any. And when they made them that offer, they were basically saying, "Hey, we can do what you're doing, but we'd rather acquire what you're already doing." For whatever reason, Snapchat decided no.
Which I think they offered over more than Instagram. They offered, I don't know, it was like $6 billion or wow. I think $19 billion.
So ask yourself this: or at least this is what I ask myself. If Snapchat turned down, let's say it was $6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
If Snapchat turned down $6 billion, it's either A, because they felt like they could get that same $6 billion on their own, or B, because that money wasn't a factor to them. I'm more leaning towards the influence of B, because as a business owner, you know that's your baby, that's your thing. The team that started Snapchat, they're probably still involved, and they're probably still they have an attachment to it that maybe when Facebook came along, they were like, "Nah, we're still trying to do our own thing."
They're probably emotionally involved.
Yeah.
It has to be. And I know that Evan Spiegel wants to change the whole app, apparently. I think he's going to try and make it more Instagram-ish if they had to make any type of moves, but...
The irony there is, so Instagram tried to buy them because they were different.
Yeah.
Now they've got to try to be more like Instagram.
Exactly.
I love that.
And like, here's the thing with Instagram. I think Instagram is great, but I think it's too much going on. You got the stories and they got the post.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing more the stories than like reading posts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, it's one or the other, Instagram. Yeah. But, you know, it's whatever, so...
Yeah.
And can you tell us, how's your coding expertise?
So my coding has suffered the most out of anything, because as you know, because you seem to stay on the cutting edge. And that line moves every day. A day, 2 days, 3 days on the internet is a month, 2 months, 3 months outside of the internet. So coding, as fast as it evolves, I feel like I'm way behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to be back in the same position relative to everybody else that I was when I first started getting into coding, when we met at WordCamp, I'm behind. I'd be behind than where I was relative back then.
Jules, can you tell us your favorite book you've read? Like the business or law-based?
Man, I got to say, I like the Bill O'Reilly, the Killing. I think I read Killing Kennedy was the last one I read.
There's a couple of Killing books from Bill,
and it was fantastic. And that's probably my favorite series going right now that I've read recently. And as far as I would say that. I would say those are that's probably what I'm reading the most right now, that series. I like Bill O'Reilly, shout out.
The random question, would you rather give up watching sports or give up listening to music?
Man, that's tough. You know, a few years ago, I am a sports fan. I'm a big time sports fan, but as life gets busier, you know, it's harder and harder to find time to watch like you used to. When I was in my early 20s and in college and everything, you had all the time to watch all, to follow everything. I'm a huge football fan. But if I had to choose one, to stop watching sports or stop listening to music, it'd be hard to stop listening to music. I think I might want to give up sports, because I don't know. Well, I guess you could still listen to sports radio, right?
You could.
You'd be allowed to, are you allowed to, you still listen?
It was music. That's a different, yeah. Well, yeah, you could technically cross over a little bit. You could touch on it a little bit. Right. Yeah, so, I mean.
Because you imagine you're in your car, silent, you know, dead silence. So you can listen to talk radio.
Yeah,
because
the question is watch and then listen. And, well, yeah, I can see that. So, man, it's funny because you're you're the second person that I've asked. That said that they'll give up on sports and listen to music.
I would probably be just because of how much you listen to music in the car. And since I'm driving all day, I go to like 3 courthouses a day. So I'm in the car all the time.
What's on your current playlist?
My current playlist, you know, if you want to know the truth, I just use Pandora and things like that.
Pandora is good. I use Pandora in my office and it's an amazing stream.
Yeah.
It's solid.
It's a good stream. Yeah. My wife has Apple Music now. And so I might start using that. But I've been using Pandora, and I listen to different stations. Like, it depends what kind of mood I'm in. Right now I have Jay-Z radio on there.
I like Pandora because obviously they've been around longer, but like they have a good shuffle. Like when you choose your station, they're like, wow, that's a perfect song right now.
Yeah, they know. It seems like they get it right. They've been around a long time. I know there's a lot of music services now.
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Music.
But I haven't used Spotify yet, but.
Their algorithm is good. Apple Music is good, but they're still new to the game. They kind of like forced it a little bit. Like they had like a whole lot coming in, but they're still tweaking it. But I see Pandora, like they got like the whole system algorithm all set. Even though I heard they're not doing well, or they, you know, they cut some staff recently. But that's for another day to talk about. But other than that, any closing words?
Man, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. I always love working with you. Santiago is one of the best web guys out there. Just fantastic. Personal service is amazing. And that's the reason I always deal strictly with him. There's a lot of guys that do this, but not everybody cares the way he does and does as great a job as he does. So that's why we always do this. So I'm happy to spend time with you. And anything at all that you need as far as traffic tickets, any criminal cases, any legal questions at all, because even if it's a realm that I don't delve into, I could always help you out finding somebody to help you. So, but traffic tickets, criminal cases, definitely give me a call, give me a text, any questions that you have at all. I'm always available to all my clients, anything you need.
And what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to reach me is my office number, which is 305-778-7113, 305-778-7113. You could call me there, text me there anytime.
And what's the Facebook and the Instagram for?
Facebook is at Captain Citation.
Correct.
And Instagram as well, at Captain Citation.
The reason why I say correct is I kind of, not manage it, but I kind of like linked from like the website. And the website is CaptainCitation.com, made by us, Leon Productions. Alex, thank you very much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you, man.